And so I will read for us. Mark chapter 5, verses 1 to 20. So they went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and he broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and the countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man, and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. And as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed.
This week and next week, we'll be going through a series of talks titled God vs. Ego. And it's a very interesting talk based on, how God, fights evil and how we should live as a Christian and stuff. We're going to have Kian does this talk today. And do you want to come up?
Sure.
Cool. So tell us what you do.
I have been a Credo staff worker in the last 5.5, 6 years maybe already. I can't remember. It's too long. But my main work is working amongst international students in UTS.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. What's your interesting experience as working in Credo? What do you find most interesting or most challenging?
Most interesting, well, there are two things, most interesting and most challenging.
Yeah.
Most interesting is that I just realized that, people come from all over the world to UTS to study. In this year I have someone coming from Mexico. I never had someone from Mexico. It's just so exciting. And I just realized that she likes Mexican food, which is, very true, coming from Mexico.
Yeah.
But I used to live in America. And I also enjoyed Mexican food when I lived there. So I shared, a couple of things with her, and it is just so exciting. The most challenging thing is that people come and go, they don't really stay in UTS. They only stay for 1 year, 1.5 years, and they go.
Aww.
Just makes me so sad, to see people go.
I'm sure we can keep contact with them.
Yes.
Just share us what you'll be talking about in a bit.
So I will be talking about how this man, especially the encounter of Jesus with this man, how this man came to know Jesus, and not only knowing him, but also, putting his trust in him, and became Jesus' messenger at the end.
Cool. All right. You can talk more about it.
Sure. Okay. It's really good to see you again. Let me just ask you a question today. What do you fear? What do you fear? Well, let me just read to you a story written by ABC journalist who was recently on Malaysian Airlines flight MH318, it's not 370, 318 from Kuala Lumpur to Beijing. Listen to this. Retracing the flight of the doomed Malaysian Airlines flight MH370 is a quiet and eerie trip. The half-full flight, a red eye to Beijing, has been renamed Flight 318. But its routine and the route were the same, providing a sense of what passengers of the missing plane likely experienced before it disappeared. It left Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia at around 12:35 a.m., the same as the ill-fated plane did on March 8. The first hour, when the flight MH370 was heading to the moment where it vanished, would have been very busy. Within minutes of takeoff, the seatbelt sign went off, allowing passengers to move around the aircraft. Drinks were served, and the captain made usual announcement and welcome, both in English and in Malay. The flight crew was bustling through the plane, attending to passengers. Flying through the night, hearing only the drone of the plane of flight MH318, reached to the point after 40 minutes where someone in the cockpit of flight MH370 says, "All right, good night," to the traffic control in Malaysia. And that was the last time the plane was ever heard from. And a few minutes later was the time in which someone turned off the transponder of that flight. The Boeing 777 was now over the Gulf of Thailand, heading towards Vietnam's airspace. Vietnam's air traffic controller never made contact with flight MH370. 2 hours before landing in Beijing, a hot breakfast was served on flight 318, a meal that the passengers of flight MH370 likely never saw. Upon landing in Beijing, the pilot's usual announcement has a somber twist in which he says, "Welcome to Beijing, and please pray for 370, the captain says." How do you feel? Well, our passage today from Mark chapter 5, if you can look again up on the screen, basically this is the story in which in the area of Gerasenes, there was this crazy man. You can look on verse 1 and 2. Gerasenes, first of all, is in the area, or is on this east side of the Lake Galilee. So you can look at the map. I have the very small map here. So if this is the Sea of Galilee, this is the region of the Gerasenes. This is the territory of the Gentiles. And the Gentiles are the people who are not Jews. The Gentiles, they are not Jews. And how do I know this? Because of the presence of the pigs in the story. You know, the Gerasenes, they enjoy their bacon, right? They enjoy their ham. They enjoy all the good stuff of pigs, not counting the pig's ear, the pig's stomach, the intestine, you know, the liver, the kidney. You know, sorry, I'm Chinese. Chinese eat a lot of different parts of pigs. He wasn't just crazy, but he was possessed by evil. It's a bit scary, I know. He lives in cemetery, and he might have lived there because the people in town think that he should live far away from the crowd. Maybe because he's a bit dangerous. But look again in Mark chapter 5. Verses 1 to 5. This man basically was possessed by the host of devils that we just read from verse 9. It's called themselves, or who called themselves, Legion. And the wildness of this devil was legendary in this part of the world. So in verses 3 to 4, you can read that over on the screen. Over the years, basically, the leaders had organized to hold this man up. And so the leaders may have thrown a net around him, or maybe hit him on the head with a blunt instrument. So just to finally to chain him up, hopefully for good. But the leaders were fearing that the man may attack them. And this treatment even added humiliation basically to this man. on one or more occasion, the local leaders had succeeded. So this legion was caught and bound and chained. But this power of this demonic superpower or demonic thing gives superhuman strength, basically, to this man. So he breaks the links of chains like he basically tear paper. Or not something that, you know, it's basically unbelievable for us. This is not the sound of a normal human being. This is not the sound of a normal human being. And with the cries in verse 5, and with the body destruction, which is the purpose of demonic possession, basically, it really a sign that this person is very, very not normal. However, one day there was a man from Nazareth. He arrived by boat, and his name is Jesus in verse 2. This meeting revolutionarily changed the story of this crazy man. So people have heard about Jesus. We have read from the Gospel of Mark, right? So they have heard about Jesus. They have heard about this rumor of Jesus as the healer, as the good speaker, as the teacher. Therefore, Jesus' arrival on that side of the lake actually created an event. And it happened that this legion, this crazy man, he went out from his house in cemetery and come to meet Jesus. And in verses 6 to 13 on the screen, this man who is possessed by the evil spirit, when he saw Jesus from the distance, he ran to him and fell on his knees. And he also screams with a loud voice, "Jesus, Son of the Most High God, what do you want to do with me? Swear to God that you won't torture me." So what he says, "Jesus, don't bother me. Mind your own business, basically. I fear you. I know that you are the Son of the Most High God." You know, it's very interesting that the demons here acknowledge Jesus as the Son of God. They even fear Jesus. The demons here sense that they were about to be punished, but Jesus is God. He is the greatest enemy of the demons. Then Jesus, without being scared at all, come with a voice of authority and look at this man. He shouts basically to the demons, "Come out of this man," in verse 9. And the demons introduce their name, meaning legion. The name is legion, meaning that there are many. These basically represent these many powers who are opposing God, opposing Jesus as the Son of God. But, you know, this is a very interesting story. In verse 10, this demon is not easily outcasted. Speaking in a voice that sounded like the blend of several scary voices, the demon says that, "Not so fast, Jesus. Before we go, you must promise not to torture us. Do not even think of banishing us totally from this area." And here, Jesus, you can imagine that he is just standing face to face, toe to toe, with this demon, with this legion in the Gerasenes. And while Jesus remained silent, the legion basically continued to keep babbling insanely. Jesus would let the demons choose where to go. The demon shouted, "Pigs! It's better to go to pigs rather than not at all, right?" So the demon says, "Send us there." And with silent nod, Jesus gave Legion a go-ahead signal in verse 13. And immediately, you can imagine there's another scream from the other side of the town. This is the herds of pigs. About 2,000 pigs. They just rushed into the water, to the lake, and they were all drowned. And the dead pigs needs to be taken out from the lakes. Days. Well, like the wildfire, basically, the news spread all over the city. People flocked to where this wonder worker was, and they basically got there and they saw Legion, this man that was possessed by the evil spirits, right? He's dressed up, and he's sane, and he's eating normally, like all other human beings. Maybe he's eating crispy pork roll, who knows, because he's a Gentile, right? But the story does not end there, very interestingly. Mark continues here, in verse 15, actually, it delivers a surprise, at least when I read this. The people who saw all these things, what was their response? Are they overjoyed? Are they grateful? Are they awed? No, they were afraid. Look at verse 15 to 17. And this makes sense, maybe, because they were afraid of Jesus. They were afraid that Jesus would do similar miracle and maybe had the local economy plunge down. You know, today, 2,000 pigs, who knows what happened tomorrow, right? But I think it's more than that. They were actually afraid of the power that Jesus has to get rid of this legion. In short, what they are afraid about is they're afraid about God. They're afraid that God dwells in their midst. Maybe the garrison's community had concluded that although legion, this man, this crazy man, was unpleasant, demonic presence among them, at least he was their possessed man and they can control him. So lines have been drawn, basically boundaries have been set, right? They lived with this condition for such a long time. But, you know, they think that today this is just herd of pigs who know what he'll do tomorrow, right? They just want to have Jesus basically out of their lives. And they just want to live with what they used to have, with this crazy man, with this legion. They were afraid that what this man might mean, what Jesus might mean for them for the rest of their lives. They just want to see Jesus as these wonder workers, basically, but never accept Jesus to be living in their midst. They don't necessarily reject Jesus, but once Jesus comes into their personal life, they said, no, sorry, it's just too much. Sometimes we as uni students, or you as uni students, sorry, well, you like Jesus, right? I don't know how many of you have clicked like Jesus on Facebook. Then you are among millions who like Jesus. Even non-Christians, actually, they do like Jesus. Sometimes they click like Jesus. They like his teaching. They like his moral example. They even like, you know, Jesus, if Jesus gives them good exam results. But when Jesus challenged you to accept him to be the ruler of your life, to be the master of your life, to control your future, when he asks you to give up your life, let's say, for a full-time service of the gospel, then you might think that, oh, that's just too much, Jesus. I want you to stay out of my personal circle here. I still would like you to be God, but, you know, for you to be controlling my life, it's just too much. I still like to take charge of my future. I still like some sins that I commit from time to time. I still like, you know, these pornographies, the lies, the cheatings, you know. I had a story from a missionary who works in Mexico. There was a custom in Mexico in which during the mass of the Catholic Church there, that only women actually came to the service. It's very interesting. Where are all the men? All the men basically waited outside the cathedral on the front steps. And this missionary actually came to the men and asked, why don't you go in? Aren't you religious, right? Why don't you go in? And one of the men actually spoke for the whole group. He said, we are religious, but we are not fanatic. We are religious, but we are not fanatic. A little religion, maybe it's a good thing that we say, but maybe let's not just be too fanatic, you know. Maybe that's what you think. You believe in God, but, you know, just a little sin in your life is okay. Maybe you think like that. Well, believe it or not, every day we are secretly in love with sin. But let me just tell you that, you know, when you keep this kind of sin, or those kind of sins, then these sins basically will lead us to death. And basically this will lead us into this eternal death. Is this the kind of condition we are looking for? while we say that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. Apparently, at the end of this Mark 5, without a word, Jesus basically heads back to the boat, and before he leaves, the healed man begs to go with him. But Jesus tells him, in verse 20, "Stay behind as my witness." And this man became one of the first witnesses, one of the first missionaries in the Gospel of Mark, proclaiming what Jesus had done for him. What can we learn from this story? There are four things that we can learn from this story. First point, accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. Well, we should fear Jesus in the sense that we should allow him to come and change our lives, like the evil possessed man. But not only that, Jesus actually knocks on your door and asks that, would you like me to be your Savior and Lord? You need to invite him, basically, come into your lives and accept him as your Lord and Savior. Not only as a Savior, the one who saves you, but as your Lord. What does it really mean? It means that you let him reign in your life. You let him be the king, the ruler of your life. You let him basically as the one who controls your life. Therefore, we should not love sin, and we should not dwell in sin. We should let Jesus dwell in us. We should let him reign in our mortal body. We should let him reign and be the king of our lives. I did a little bit of math. If you live 74 years in this world, okay, then Jesus should reign in your life for 888 months, for 27,010 days, for 648,240 hours, for 38,894,400 minutes. What does it really mean? It means that every single decision, every single action for the whole course of your life, then he should be reigning. He should be the one that controls your life. He should be the one that directs your life. Number two, know that Jesus loves us much more than anything. More than 2,000 pigs, for sure. Right? And I did a little bit of research. I didn't go to Homebush, okay? I didn't go to the market, but I did a little bit of research. In Australia, you can get a pig for $500 each. Okay, 500 Australian dollars each. So that's about 1 million altogether. 2,000 pigs, 1 million. And if you cut the pig and try to separate the meat, you know, you can even get more than $500. Maybe about 1,000 or 1,500 per pig total. Then you can imagine the total value of 2,000 pigs. Right? This crazy person is worth more than that. You and I worth more than that. That's why God sent Jesus Christ, his son, to die on our behalf so that we can have access to God, so we can be reunited with God. He loves us more than anything, and he is willing to give his son to die on the cross for the punishment of our sin. Number three, trust Jesus that he has authority over our greatest enemy, that is death. Well, Easter is coming up. And on the resurrection on Easter, Jesus basically conquered death. And death has no power. What does it really mean? It means that we should not fear anything. We should not fear death. You know, because Jesus had died for us. And the greatest threat of life, which is death, that has been defeated, that has been overcome by the work of Jesus on the cross on Easter 2,000 years ago. What you have to do is just to come to him and to believe and to trust in him. Number four, tell others, basically, what Jesus had done in your life. The life of this crazy man that was healed is very interesting. He did not just simply leave Jesus and mind with his business, but he wants to be the disciple of Jesus. He wants to tell others what Jesus had done for him. And this is just so, so amazing. He became one of the first missionaries, like I said. And this is so true, you know, that we, all of us, who have been redeemed, who have been experiencing the work of Jesus in our lives, then we should tell others about it. Someone told me that if the good news is not so good, or is not so great, it's not so wonderful, then maybe you are a bit hesitant to tell about it. So if you think that, you know, you're not sure about it, and you're not, because maybe that good news is not too good. Maybe you don't understand it as what the Bible says. Easter will come, and I think it is a good opportunity for you to invite your friends and say that, you know, I know this good news that Jesus has come, and he has redeemed me, and he has paid all of my sins. If that news is just so good, then you need to go out and invite your friends to also hear the same news. So at the end, someone will pray. Who's going to pray? Okay, going to pray. We will pray based upon the talk and also pray for other things. Praying is just basically talking to God. But we express our dependence basically on God, because we are his creature and he is our creator.
Hey guys, I haven't met you yet. My name's Ben, and I'm studying Master of Business in Management. So I'm just going to pray now. All the prayer points will be available on Creator Hub as well. So let's pray. Father, we just praise you, and we thank you for bringing us together today to study your word. We thank you for Kian to lead us in your word today, and we thank you for blessing us in a country where we can freely meet to proclaim your name. Lord, we thank you for all those here who live for you every day, and we especially pray for Credo and the upcoming events on campus. We pray for those who are involved and giving up their time for Easter outreach, that you'll give them the courage to serve you and to speak about you freely. We pray for next week with Financial Partnership Week. We pray that you'll place it on our hearts to give generously so your name can continue to be glorified at UTS. We pray for everyone who will be attending ETC. We pray you will bless us as we spend time together to learn about the Holy Spirit. We pray you will build us up in fellowship as Christians after your own heart. Father, we pray for those involved in and affected by the Malaysian Airlines tragedy. We pray you'll provide comfort for the friends and family of the passengers. And we pray you'll provide strength for all those who are involved in the search. We pray you'll provide them with wisdom to make the right decisions, and that the information gathered will be used to locate the missing plane. And Lord, we pray and we know that you're in control. And we just pray that your name will be praised and people will be filled with joy even in this time of suffering. So Lord, we just commit this to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.